Why is that the hardest mitzvah to fulfill? Emotion. Do you really have joy? To rejoice in Hashem? It's very, very difficult for a person to put himself in a frame of mind of true, sincere enjoyment in Hashem, in the Moadim, in what Yom Tov is all about. To parallel the difficulty of loisach, of v'hayisa ach sameach, is a loisase, the negative commandment of loisachmai. Don't covet what your friend has, whether it's his wife, whether it's his car, whether it's his smartphone, whether it's his success in life. It is prohibited for a person to have an emotion, at least literally, of desiring for yourself what your friend has.
It's an emotion that you have no control. You
see, exactly. That car, is why...
You say, I like that car.
I, and therefore what? I like it, and it's not enough just to like it. You can like it, beautiful. I want it. I want it for myself. There are a lot of very nice things out there in the world. Do you really want it for yourself? Are you jealous of the astronauts that are planning to go to Mars on a one-way ticket? There are many people who are jealous of them. There are thousands of volunteers. Thousands of volunteers for NASA to go on a one-way ticket to Mars. I'm not joking. They're willing to go. Today there is technology available off the shelf right now. They can get to right now within a few hours, not a few hours, but very, very quickly they can launch something to send man to Mars. Mm-hmm. But there is no technology available today to get him back. There is no technology available. What? They have enough technology to survive the trip. They have enough technology off the shelf. It's all there. It's all ready to go. Ready to go to put a man in some type of whatever, and to send him off very good within a month. If they gave the go-ahead within 1 month, the guy would launch, and they'll send him there to Mars. But I'm sorry, we have no technology to bring you home.
What are you going to do once you get there?
That's the good... Koilel. Koilel. A Chabad house. You open up the first Chabad house on Mars. You never know who will show up. You build it, they'll come. What?
If you know Shas by heart, can I be jealous of that knowledge?
Yes.
Oh. Good, maybe not. He's asking a very good question. What do you say?
Very
accurate. Okay, kina soifrim. Kina soifrim tarbe chachma. Kina soifrim karim chachma. Is there a din of kina soifrim? Kina, everyone's talking. I told him, Paul, is there a they had a very beautiful dirshu event this past Sunday. Magnificent, beautiful. Is there a din of the agudah also had a very beautiful event? Is there a din of kina soifrim in that regard? So some will say, of course, it's all rooted, it's mutter. Kinas soifrim tar bechochma. Of course, it's all adarab. When it comes to Torah, everything is fair. In love and war, all is fair. In love and war. So kinas soifrim, all is fair. Others will say, no, that's not what it means, kinas soifrim. Kinas soifrim means who has a better pshat in Tosfos. Who has a more profound understanding of a daf gemara. If someone knows the entire Shas, what are you jealous of? You're jealous of his memory? What are you jealous of exactly? His memory? Or are you jealous of his
But if you want his knowledge, he doesn't lose his knowledge if you get it.
It's not so simple. Kinas Soifim is a very complex sugya. What exactly are you jealous of? Many times when you're jealous, you're jealous of his memory. Hashem gave this human being a memory. We all know there are people that have photographic minds. They can go look at a book, and they can tell you, they can repeat it word for word, and other people can't. It's a gift. Hashem made this person's mind like this, and this person's mind like that. For me to be jealous of someone else's mind, l'chayra, would be in the category of loy sachmoid. To me, to be jealous of the fact that he spent 3 hours delving into understanding what Tosfos means, that there is no loy sachem, because I can do it myself. If you're jealous, adarabah. Go do it yourself. Go and spend 3 hours. Spend 3 hours learning the sugya. You'll come with the same appreciation. That is tarbiyah. There has to be built in to kinas sayfim what's called the tarbiyah chokhma. There has to be an opportunity. You touched upon what I want to talk about. There has to be in kinas sayfim the ability to fulfill tarbiyah chokhma. That you could increase chokhma because of the jealousy. I saw your accomplishment. I can do the same thing if I really wanted to. So that's right. The jealousy that I have is a stimulus for me to apply myself to be marbe more chachma. But if you make a beautiful event that cost $1 million, I don't have $1 million to make an event like this. And I'm jealous. I'm jealous because you have $1 million and I don't have $1 million. So you're causing jealousy. Oh, but the jealousy is all lahagdil toru lahadira? That's a very complicated question. That's something which requires a discussion amongst people who big talmidei chacham, if that indeed is in the category of kinas soifrim tarbe chachma. It has to lead to a darga of tarbe chachma. Will there be through this kina a tarbe chachma? Got to really analyze very, very carefully. Yes, maybe, yeah, maybe not. Maybe when you make a beautiful ceremony, it creates a certain sensation which allows people to learn more Torah. And there is a tarbe chachma. So when you have a beautiful ceremony, yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe that's not considered. It's a little bit going overboard of what it really means. These are questions for the Gedolei Yisrael to grapple with, not for me. Not for whatever, and not gonna say you, but certainly not for me to even go into that world.
What about talents? All talents.
What?
Someone's a poet.
Exactly, exactly. It's a gift. Many of these things in life, there are things that are gifts, and there are things that you, with training, you could accomplish. Exactly, you've touched upon the core of the issue. There are certain things that people have are gifts. No matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I try, I will never, ever be able to achieve such a thing because it's a gift. And then there are things in life that it's within my reach. If I work on it, I can achieve it. So okay, now let's go back to the literal violation. There's a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid as to how does one actually violate Leisachmoy to the point where the Bezdin can punish him. The Rambam says, this is very fascinating, the basic, there are different, Leisachmoy, let's take a step back, there are two elements. There is the spirit of the law, and there is the practical brick and mortar of the law. The spirit of the law is, it's a very bad midah, it can destroy a person. Leisachmoid. In fact, there's a medrash, I don't know, I never had a chance to find this medrash that says that the reason why Leisachmoid is the last of the Aseres Hadibrois is to teach you that every, the violation of every single one of the Aseres Hadibrois also includes with it, by default, Leisachmoid. A person can never come to Leisirtzach unless he already has violated Leisachmoid. You can never come to Leisinof? It's impossible. How could it be Leisinof unless you've already violated Leisachmait? You can never come to Chil Shabbos unless you violate Leisachmait. The reason why Leisachmait is the last of the Aseres Hadibros is because that's like the catch-all. The reason, it's really the only, basically the only nine. There are, we think there are 10 Dibros, right? There are 10 Dibros. No, there are only nine. There are only nine. Tisha Miyodea. The 10th is just a summary. Every single one of the 9 Dibrois is all rooted in Leisachmoid. Leisachmoid, in essence, is really the end of the Torah. Rav Sadigon says, it's famous Rav Sadigon, is that all of the Taryag mitzvos are rooted in the Aseres HaDibrois. Which means, and what is the end of the Aseres HaDibrois? Leisachmoid. So Leisachmoid is like the covering, the packaging of the Torah. The packaging of the Torah, as far as the negative mitzvahs, is loy sachmad. There's a medrash that says that there was a ma'isa shahaya where because a person violated loy sachmad, he did every single one of the aseres hadibras. There's a story that goes in, I don't know, maybe I'll try to find it by tomorrow, I don't know, that goes into relating how loy sachmad was the trigger for the violation of all of the aseres hadibras in one shot by a fellow. Okay, well, maybe another time. But in any event, let's now go back to there's the spirit of the law and there is the actual halacha, the actual method that needs to be done in order to violate the technical law. The spirit of the law is a midah, an emotion. An emotion. Don't have this bad midah of desiring what your friend has. But halacha l'maisa, how does one violate l'sachmo to the degree where Bezin can say, bad boy, you were over on the loisase, we're going to take you to Bezdin, we're going to take off your shirt, we're going to tie down to a pole, and we're going to whip you 39 times. Because you have technically violated the Isser Derais of loisachmad. How does one go about doing that? There's a machlaikis between the Rambam and the Raivid. A yesoidoistika machlaikis. The Rambam says, what we basically call extortion. What we call extortion is loisachmad. That's really the only way to look at it. Oishak, we like to touch. What is, how do we ordinarily translate the word extortion or the word oshak in its most general form? When you go to a fellow and you say, oh, you have a very nice little gadget here. You know, I like it. I have a very nice grandfather clock. I like this grandfather clock. It's very nice. Can I have it, please? How much does it cost? Well, the market value is it's worth $5,000. Now, I would put it up for auction in a Sotheby's, I would get $5,000 for this grandfather clock. Oh, very nice. Here's $5,000. Can I please have it? I'm sorry, it's not for sale. I like it, I like it. Okay, I'll give you $6,000. I'm sorry, it's sentimental. I was Yorish this for my family, it's in the family, it's not. Listen, everyone's got a price. $10,000, $20,000. I'll give you $1,000,000. Sorry, it's not for sale. Not for sale? Okay, you know, I opened okay, your wallet. Look, I'm a card-carrying member of the mafia. And I'm going to be nice this time. I'm going to give you $1,000,000. $1,000,000. You'll be set for life. Cash. Suitcase. Okay? Not traceable money. Okay? And I have here a weapon also, by the way. I have a weapon. And I'm a card-carrying member of the mafia. I know how to get the job done. Take the suitcase of $1,000,000 and give me the clock. And that's the end of the conversation. And the person is terrified, and he gives him the grandfather clock for $1,000,000. This mafia man was just now oiver loy sachmait.
That's all? That's it?
That's the Rambam.
Yeah.
Now, technical violation. Now you would say, is that like sigzol? No, it's not. According to the Rambam, this is what we normally call in Tanakh extortion. We call it in English that's when it's extortion. You're getting paid, but it's done a duress. I don't want to do this. I can't say that I have been cheated because I got market value plus a lot more. Forcing a person to part with something that he has in his possession because you want it, even though you've paid him its full market value, in the Rambam's opinion, is loy sachmait.
But if you covet it, you don't pursue the item.
You're not over.
Say, I like that clock. I really like it a lot.
And I want it. And I want it. I have to say, I want it.
But I'm not going to do anything to do it.
No, you are not, as I told you, you're not oiver in the technical halacha loy sachmait. But in the spirit of the halacha, you are in violation. Now, everyone is in violation of the that's how the world works. The whole world operates with the principle of jealousy. The whole world operates with emotion, with the desire to compete, to have what someone else has. But if it's at there. When there is a unhealthy desire, there's a healthy desire and there is an unhealthy desire. Every person has their own understanding of what that means. When you recognize that you have crossed the line and your desire for property that's not yours has reached a point where it's not healthy, then you're in violation of Sachmoid in the spirit of the law. But not technically. Of course, you're not going to get punished for that. That's an emotion you have to work on. It's a midah. It's a spiritual violation of the law. In order to get Malkois Arboim, to be taken to Beis Din and to be whipped, that you are over on the Isser De'oraisa, Le'sachmoid, you have to remove it from the possession of your friend.
Action.
Even if you have not caused your friend a loss. Even if you've given him 10 times its market value. The Rambam says this is a violation of the Isser De'oraisa of Le'sachmoid. And if you are warned in advance what you're doing is wrong and you don't listen and there are two witnesses, they tell you don't force him. There's a pasuk in the Torah, Le'sachmoid. And if you force him, even though you give him the market value, you'll be in violation and we are witnesses, we'll take you to court and the Beis Din will punish you by giving you 40 lashes. The Ravid, Omar Avram, who always takes the Rambam to task for every little thing that the Rambam said, thoroughly disagrees with this psak of the Rambam. If you pay for it, there's no Le'sachmoid. It may not be nice. Indeed, it may be a violation of Le'sachmoid in the spirit of the law. But if you paid for something in full, according to the Ravid, that is not Le'sachmoid. So how then is there Le'sachmoid according to the Ravid? If you force him to decide in his mind, I want to give it to you for free. Yeah. You don't pay him. But it's not stealing, because if it's stealing, then it's Le'sigzol. In other words, if I come to you and you ask, it's manipulation. It's very complicated according to the Ravid. You have to manipulate a person, manipulate him to release, to give up willingly something that he doesn't want to give up.
Did he kill your family?
No. No, that's not.
You threaten him, maybe. Is it called gezel? See, you have to come and I'm not so sure. That might be called gezel. That's theft. That's gezel. You have to differentiate between gezel. It's a very fine line. It's a very complicated halachic discussion. There's a very fine line between le'sachmoid and le'sigzol. According to the Rambam, it's very simple. If you don't pay, it's le'sigzol. If you pay and he doesn't want to do it and you force him, that's le'sachmoid. Very simple, clear cut. According to the Ravid, even if you don't pay, there is le'sachmoid. If you're not paying this le'sachmoid, so what then is the difference between le'sachmoid and le'sigzol? So the answer is, it's very hard to understand this, manipulation. You come to him, he doesn't want to give it up. He doesn't want to part with this. And you persuade him, you convince him, you work on him when he comes to the conclusion that yes, he wants to give this item as a gift to you. Strange, right? You can't say it's le'sigzol, because he wrote with real kavana, I want to give this to you as a gift. But that's not the way it started. The way it started is he did not want to give it. The only reason why he's giving it to you is because you manipulated him. So you were not over le'sigzol, because at the end of the day, a person has free will. At the end of the day, a person has bechira chashus. And he came to the conclusion that it's in his best interest, not because of anything illegal, not because you're threatening to kill his family. Not threatening to kill his family, because that he doesn't want to give. I don't want to do it. I have no choice. You're going to kill my family. No one's killing my family. You just manipulate him. It's not in your best interest to have this in your possession.
Just like the Harvey Weinstein thing, I mean, where he implied that this person he'll stop them from having a career move. I mean, there's an implication.
That could be worse, because there is a real threat. There's a real threat of there's a real threat of a loss of an implication in your life. It could be that's worse. It's true. It's very, very hard to define. Okay, but that's the Ravid. Now let's go a step further. Let's discuss now another Shiloh. What happens if the object you're forcing the person to release is not worth a pruta, and you force a person to release it? So until now, we're discussing that you have an object, and the object has a market value of $10,000, $5,000. Let's say this guy has in his possession, he has a wood chips. I don't know what he has. He has a plastic cup. Okay, he has a plastic cup. And the plastic cup is not worth on the market even one penny. Okay, it's an old plastic he took out of the garbage. It's not even worth in the market even one pruta. Pachos mishave pruta. And I go to you now, and I say to you, oh, you have that plastic cup. I want it very much. Can you please give it to me? No, I don't want to give it to you. It's mine. And now you pay him to give it to you. According to the Rambam, you pay him. I get, here's a dollar. Here's a dollar. Give me the plastic cup. I don't want to give it up. I don't want to give it up. Even for a dollar? No. Well, you better give it to me, or I'll beat the living daylights out of you. And here's a dollar for your trouble. So, but the plastic cup itself is not worth a pruta. And according to the Ravid says you don't even need. The Ravid says, let's say according to the Ravid, you convince him. Okay, I convince him. You know, it's not right. However you convince him to give it up, is that considered in halacha both of you, the Ravid and the Rambam, loy sachmait? This is a big machlokes achronim. Does the object that you're convincing the person to give up need to be worth a shaveh pruta? L'may nafkemina, kovod. How many times, this is much more practical. There's an event. And who is it? It's meant to be, so-and-so will be the Mesader Kedushin. Okay? Or it's meant to be, I don't know, someone's going to have a certain kibud at an event. You want that for yourself. That kovod, a kovod is something which does not have a market value. It's pachos mishaveh pruta. If you have in your possession a watch and I want you to relinquish it to me, as a market value. You have a piece of garbage in your hand and I want you to give it to me, that's no market value. That's not very practical. But what is very common, what is commonly practical, when you have a situation, look at Neil Armstrong. Was he supposed to be the person, supposed to be the first one to go onto the moon?
No.
I don't think so, right? I think he chapped it. Okay, let's say for argument's sake, let's make believe. The whole world is watching. Who's going to be the first man to step foot on the moon? And let's say it was decided down here on Earth by NASA that Reuven is going to be the one that's going to get the kovod. Every school child, every school student in the world will know forever the first man to step foot on the moon was Reuven. This was decided on Earth by NASA, by the boss. But the truth, but up there, they can negotiate if they want. NASA has no problem with it. He wants to be Mocha and let Shimon. And then he goes and he says to him, listen, Shimon says to Reuven, I want to be the one. You know, it's not right. I'm older than you. I'm smarter than you. I've been in NASA a lot longer than you. Even though they gave it to you, don't you think it's right? I should be the one to be the first one to step foot on the moon. And he persuades him with all these arguments, the whole trip, all the way to the moon. And Reuven says, okay, you're right. Okay, I relinquish. You, Shimon, can be the first one to step foot on the moon. And Shimon goes out and he steps foot on the moon and he says, one small step for man, one giant leap for the halacha of Lo Sachmit. Right? And he does it. Was Shimon oiver on the Isser de'oraisa of Lo Sachmit? Because here he took away from Reuven a davar. She'ein boy shava pruta. Kavod is not something in the world of halacha that you can put a dollar amount on. You can put a dollar amount on something physical, not on something that is a davar she'ein boy mamish. So what is the halacha? Is there an iser? If there was two witnesses, the other two fellows in the spaceship, they were saying, Shimon, don't do this. Don't persuade him. If you're going to persuade him, you're going to be over on the Isser De'orais of Le'sachmait. And Shimon doesn't listen. He proceeds to tell Reuven 100 reasons why he deserves to step foot first. And then they come down to this earth and they take him to Bezdin. Will Bezdin be able to whip him because he was over on the Isser De'orais of Le'sachmait? It's machloikis rishonim. Is Le'sachmait need to have a dover sheyesh boi shavim peruta? Okay, last topic. What about a goy? Is there an iser deoraisa of loisachmoid on a goy? A goy has a beautiful car. I want that car. I'll pay you for it. And I'm also a member of the mafia. Is there an iser deoraisa of loisachmoid when it comes to a goy? It says in the pasuk re'echa, v'chol asher lire'echa, which would seem to indicate all of these rules do not apply to a goy. That's very dangerous. If the whole halacha is an emotion, it's a midah, how could you differentiate between a Jew and a goy? It's a very complicated issue. And last varagada, the Chazal said, a person has no kinna. Kinna and loisachmud are related, they're cousins. A person has no kinna, Chazal say, his bones do not decay. Yosef's bones, as atzmos Yosef imo. Yosef is, why did Yosef say to the brothers, when I die, I want you to take my bones out with you? Why did he say that to them? What's it all about? The machlekes, did the brothers, did their bones also come out of Egypt? So Itchem, Rashi says they did, but not everyone agrees to Rashi. Rashi, the bones of the brother did not go. What's this all about? Chazal say, if you have no jealousy, your bones do not decay. Yosef's final words to his brothers were, I have no complaints against you. Don't think for any reason what you did to me, you sold me as a slave. You sold me as a slave. I have any complaint. And time will prove that I'm right. Because you will see, your descendants will see that my bones will be fully intact when it comes time to leave Egypt. It's Atzmos Yosef. They left Egypt with the bones of Yosef. How did we get to Egypt? It's an incredible halacha, in concept. They left Egypt with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Aroin of Yosef, guiding them. How did you get to Egypt? How did we get to Egypt? Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. They sold Yosef as a slave. That's how we got here. Now we're leaving. It haunts them. Their whole exodus is a haunting experience. How do we get here? We were Rishoyim. Our brother, when they went out of, you know what guided them out of Egypt? Yosef, I have no tinnitus. My bones have not decayed. The only way a bone does not decay is if you're not jealous. You have no kinna, jealousy, or complaint against someone else. There's no sachma. No sachma is all related. Incredible. That's why we're able to leave. Because if Yosef's bones would decompose, we wouldn't be able to leave. The sin would be so great, he wouldn't have no forgiveness. We wouldn't be able to get out of here. But the fact that Yosef's bones are not decay, he has no tinnitus, no complaints. That's how we're able to leave Egypt. Okay, we'll stop there.
It's also the art side of Rapani's Christ work and math work. And,